up, everyone? Thank you for tuning into Tethered, a podcast dedicated to helping followers of Jesus stay connected to Him day by day. My prayer for this episode is that it would encourage you, challenge you, and propel you to abide more deeply in Jesus. I hope you're encouraged by this episode. Let's jump right on in. What's up, everyone? Once again, this is your host, Joey Morales. I really appreciate you listening to episodes here on Tethered. If you've been impacted in any way by these episodes, please subscribe to the podcast to keep up to date on when episodes drop, and please share with your friends and family on social media, however you share things. I would really appreciate it. For this episode, I gave a message at a CRU student leaders retreat on August 9th, 2022. I spoke to CRU student leaders from both the University of Central Missouri and the University of Missouri in Kansas City about the importance of connecting with God for personal growth and to fuel one's ministry. I reminded them of why they are to abide in Christ daily by engaging in prayer and engaging with God's Word so that they can grow in their faith and be fueled to pour out to others. This message was the inspiration for naming this podcast Tethered. Without further ado, here's the message I gave at this retreat. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Awesome. Great. Well, most of you know me, but if you don't know me, I'm Joey. I am recently a new staff member with CRU, so very excited to be here and to come alongside you students and just help you get excited to, you know Jesus and make Jesus known. So, alrighty. So this morning, I actually want to touch on the importance of connecting with God for personal growth and fueling your ministry as students. And so my hope and prayer for this teaching is that you would all walk away from this devotional training time, equipped to grow in your devotional time with God. And so at the end of the training time, like Dylan was saying, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to put into practice just some of the things that we'll be talking about. Alrighty, so who here has ever used a mobile hotspot? I have. I had to use it last year when I was on campus at CRU because I couldn't access the Wi-Fi. And so you use this to connect to the internet, right? You use your computer, tie to your phone, voila, you have internet. That is called tethering. And so tethering means to fasten or restrain. In this case, the computer is quote-unquote fastened to the phone cellular connection to access the internet. And so just like at times our computers need to be tethered or connected to our mobile phones, we should always stay tethered to God. And so it's important to stay tethered to God because sometimes that connection will drop during seasons of ministry. Even if our connection drops, God does not drop us. And so as ministry leaders, that includes both students and staff, we must remind ourselves to remain tethered to God. Because if we stay tethered to God, we will be able to pour into the students that the Lord is going to bless us with this year. And the Lord is going to bless us very mightily with students that probably have never heard the name of Jesus before. And so I just want to take time this morning to just kind of explain what that looks like. So let's go ahead and pray real quick, please. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that you caused this morning to happen. Thank you for causing the sun to rise. You are holy, righteous, and good. And I pray that your will continue to be done in our lives. And I pray as students and staff just continue to enjoy this time together, that we would learn from you and learn from your word what it means to abide in you. And we pray these things in your son's name. Amen. Alrighty, so a lot of you are familiar with this passage, John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5. The co-ed study just went through it. Thank you, Mike, for leading that. And so this is what the text says. It says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches." Bless you. "Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. for apart from me, you can do nothing. And so, did you guys catch that key word, abide? And so, in the entirety of the passage, John 15, 1 through 11, that word abide actually appears 10 times. That is the Greek word meno. And so this word meno, it means to remain, to continue to be present, to be held, kept continually, or in this case, to stay tethered or connected. So what does it mean to abide in Jesus? Why is it important for us as followers of Jesus to understand this? More importantly, why is it important for us as crew ministry leaders to understand it, to understand this? What does it look like to abide, remain, or stay tethered to God? So according to the ESB Study Bible, it says this about abiding in Christ. To abide in Jesus means to continue in a daily, personal relationship with Jesus, characterized by trust, prayer, obedience, and joy. So how does one continue in a daily, personal relationship with God? And so in this relationship with Jesus, there are ways we can abide in Jesus. We can be involved in the church, involved with crew. We can sing to him in worship. We can serve him. We can pray. We can engage with his word. It doesn't earn the relationship, but it's how we experience it. And so I actually want to touch on two of those ways to stay tethered to God. That is prayer and God's word. And so let's touch on prayer first. The first thing is that prayer is very essential. It's our direct connection to speak to God. And so prayer is the language of dependency. It shows that we need God. And so prayer is the heart of those who are utterly dependent on God to conform them to his will and conform them to need Jesus daily, continually. And so it's this ongoing relationship. And so Tom Hudzina wrote in an article called How to Have a Quiet Time. It's published on Crew's website. In this article, Hudzina wrote that, quote, prayer is the natural response to God, end quote. And so we pray to God as a response to what we have learned in his word, of what convictions we come to. And more importantly, to intercede for others, to ask for help in times of turmoil, and much more. And so the most important element of prayer is that it makes us more like Christ. Jesus himself actually did this. Jesus himself prayed depending on the Father. We read this in Luke chapter 6, verse 12. It says, in these days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And so Jesus himself modeled this dependency on prayer. And so we pray because we need God. And so Jesus himself actually teaches his disciples how to pray during the Sermon on the Mount. And so you guys are very familiar with that passage, so let me read it to you here in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So what's going on here is that Jesus is providing his disciples with a model to pray. And so what we see in the text here is there's six petitions that we see the disciples being given in order to pray. Now, these six petitions are not like, what do you call it, like an exact way you have to do them. It's more of a model like to help you as students know exactly like how to pray and what to be thinking about when you pray. So here's the six petitions. The first petition is that God's name is hallowed. So what does it mean for God's name to be hallowed? It means for God to be adored for who he is, his nature, his essence, worshiping him because of his character. That's the first petition. Second petition is that God's kingdom would continue to be advanced. This means that God has given us the ability to proclaim his name through the preaching of the gospel, for his people to grow to be like Christ, for his people to be changed forever. This includes the church and the individual believer. We'll be back after a brief break. Hey, what's up, everyone? We really appreciate you listening to episodes here on Tethered. If you've been impacted in any way by these episodes, please subscribe to the podcast to keep up to date on when episodes drop. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, will you please consider rating this podcast in your favorite podcasting app? Please leave us a comment. Finally, please share this podcast with your friends and family on social media or however you share things. We would really appreciate it. Thank you for listening to Tethered. Now, back to the episode. And then the third petition we see here is that God's will be done. This means to ask God to live according to how he has called you to live, according to what the Bible says. So that's the third petition. Fourth petition is to focus on the daily bread. This means to ask God for your daily needs, both physical and spiritual, to help you get through the day. The fifth petition is asking God to forgive debts and forgive debtors. This means that you ask God to forgive you of your sins, but not only that, but to also forgive those who have sinned against you. So that's the fifth petition. The last petition we see here is asking God to lead his disciples not into temptation. This is asking God to be your strength during times of temptation and testing, because those times will come. It's asking him to help you endure and not fall into sin. And so we see those six petitions as a model of prayer that Jesus gives. And to summarize, when we're praying, we are called to petition God about how great he is for his kingdom to be advanced through personal growth and the preaching of the gospel. Also for his will to be done in conforming to the image of his son, who to provide for our daily needs, to forgive us of our sins, and to forgive those who sin against us, and for the Lord to not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so Isaiah 59:2 says this, and I think it's important for us to know this. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Our sinful nature has separated us from God. Because of our sin, he hides his face from us and does not hear from us. God has severed his relationship with us. The gospel, Jesus Christ himself, allows us to be made right with God, so that in Christ, God's face is not hidden from us, and God will hear our prayers, and our relationship with him will not be severed. It's Christ working in us. That's why we need to abide in the true vine. We must make sure that we confess our sins to God so that he can listen to our prayers. So that is the first way of staying tethered to God. The second point I want to talk on is God's word. God's word is essential. It's essential for followers of Jesus to listen to God by reading, studying, and meditating on his word. The Bible is our direct connection to hearing from God. And so Tamuzina again says this in his article on how to have a quiet time. And he writes that, quote, by spending time in God's word, we open ourselves up to his voice and he can speak to us directly. And so the Bible is a book of dependency. We need the Bible to help understand what God is like. The Bible is for those who utterly depend on God to transform them to his will and conform them to continually learn from Jesus daily. And we spend time in God's word to understand convictions, to have essential doctrines of faith, to seek wisdom during times of turmoil, and much more. So the most important element of spending time in God's word is that, again, it makes us more like Christ, just like prayer. Jesus himself was dependent on God's word. We read this in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, and it says this, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days. And being tempted by the devil, he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And we see a few instances of that as well in the Bible. But Jesus himself modeled dependency on Scripture for us as well. And we spend time in God's word because we need God. And so we need God both in prayer and in Bible reading. And so the Scripture actually provides us a model of spending time in God's word. And we actually see this in 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17. Paul is writing to his protege Timothy about God's word. Paul writes to him to continue in what he has learned and firmly believed. And so this is what it says in 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. But as for you, continue what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which can make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the men of God may be equipped for every good work. So all scripture breathed out by God means that both the Old and the New Testaments were ultimately written by God through human authors under the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul actually provides Timothy with a model of what God's word does in his life. So what we see here are six effects that God's word should have in our lives as believers. And so here are those six effects. The first effect is that God's word makes one wise for salvation. The word of God shows readers how a person is made right before a holy God. It shows how God is perfect and holy and man is not. It shows that man can place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. It shows how to respond to Jesus' work on the cross. Leaders need to use God's word for people far from God to have the wisdom for salvation. So meaning, like, we open up the scriptures when we're meeting with students and show them, like, hey, this is how you can be saved. And not just solely programs and events. Not that those are bad, but if they're not centered on God's word, then those things don't matter. And so the second effect we have here is God's word is profitable for teaching. The word profitable means advantageous, useful, and helpful. God's word teaches a person what God is like and how to walk in the way that God has called his people to live. So that's the second effect. Third effect is that God's word is for reproof. So this word reproof is an interesting word, but essentially what it means is it's used to test against any teaching that is contrary to what God has already revealed in his word. When people read his word, it should prove itself. Another way of saying this is God's word disproves false teaching. And so us as leaders need to know God's word in order to protect God's people. So we are called to hold the scripture to a higher calling because we are responsible for the lives of souls, especially the souls that are going to come onto campus. We got to make sure we're teaching the scriptures accurately. And so the fourth defect we see here is that God's word is for correction. God's word is meant to set his people straight when they go the wrong way. His word is used to point people back to himself. That's the fourth effect. The fifth effect is that God's word is for training in righteousness. This means that God's word is used to train his people to walk on the path of righteousness. God's word is used to sanctify his people to live a life of holiness. So the Bible should always show us how to walk in a way that is honoring to God. And then the last effect we see here is that God's work makes one complete and equipped for every good work. In the life of the believer, God is calling them to be equipped for every good work. This essentially means that the word might not answer questions for every life situation, but it gives some clarity or wisdom to some aspects, which can be used to address issues like finances, resolving conflict, dating, and so on and so forth. And so as ministry leaders, we're called like to look at the Bible for wisdom in terms of how to deal with certain situations that you'll come across. And so just to summarize everything that I just shared, God's word should have these effects on our lives as we read and study and meditate on his word. The word of God makes one wise for salvation. It makes is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. It makes one complete and equipped for every good work. And so I want to read from Psalm 119, 9 through 11. And this is what this says. I think it's important for us to notice too. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The thing is, we can't keep our hearts pure. We don't seek God with all our hearts. We wander away from his commandments. But then again, the gospel, Jesus Christ himself, allows us to be made right with God so that Christ, we can keep our way pure. That in Christ, we can, with our whole heart, seek him and not wander away from his commandments. It's Christ working in us. That's why we need to abide again in the true vine. Like, we must make sure that God, through his word, convicts us of our sin, that we can walk in purity of heart and not wander away from him. And so that's the second way of staying tethered to God. So let's go back to the questions that we asked ourselves in the beginning. What does it mean to abide in Jesus? Why is it important for us as followers of Christ to understand this? And more importantly, why is it important as us as leaders of crew to understand this? Jesus says he is the true vine, the source of life. If you stay tethered to him, you will bear fruit. You will grow in your relationship with him. If you grow in your relationship with him, then you will be fueled to go out into the world to share this good news about the true vine, Jesus Christ. Apart from staying tethered to Jesus himself, you can do nothing. The text says that, because he is the source of life. You won't be able to live your life glorifying him if you're not tethered to him. You won't be able to pour out your life to others if you're not tethered to him. He is the vine. We are the branches. The branches cannot produce fruit if the branches are not attached to the vine. So in conclusion, we must stay tethered to Jesus. If we do not stay tethered to Jesus, again, we will not bear fruit. And just to summarize everything that was shared, how do we stay tethered to God? We need to have a personal devotional time daily with him by putting into practice both prayer and engaging with God's word. As followers of Jesus, especially those in ministry leadership, something I need to emphasize here, and this is me preaching to myself as well. If we are not connecting with God on a daily basis for our personal growth, we will not be fueled for ministry. I'm going to repeat that one more time because, again, I'm preaching to myself here. As followers of Jesus, especially those in ministry leadership, if we are not connecting with God on a daily basis for personal growth, we will not be fueled for ministry. And so if we are to abide in Jesus through prayer and God's word, how would that change how we approach leadership? What would our ministry philosophy look like? We rely on God through prayer to change people, not our strategies. We rely on God's word to change hearts, not what makes people comfortable. God wants to use us as campus ministry leaders to create a passionate community connecting people to Jesus Christ. He wants to use us to, one, win people to Christ, build them up in their faith, and send them to win and build others. This is not exclusively for campus ministry leaders. It's for everyone who believes in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so Jesus is the true vine, like I said, and he proved it for what he did for us, even though we don't deserve it. Because of his death and resurrection, we're able to experience salvation in him alone, abide in him, and walk with him. It is by his grace that we can abide in him. Do you believe this truth? Are you connecting with God daily as a response to what he did for you and who he is? My question to you all today is this, and this is me too. Will you stay tethered to Jesus? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that God, your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I do pray that God, that we can study your word, meditate on it, and read it. But also that God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet, and that we can even speak to you, God, that we can even talk to you. It's an undeserved blessing, and I do pray that these students would walk away knowing how to have a quiet time, because, Lord, sometimes it's easy to forget to do that, even though we've been walking with you for years. And we just pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Tethered. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and family. Please also tap the subscribe button to receive notifications when new episodes are published. You can also follow Tethered on Instagram by clicking on the link in the episode notes. Hope this episode has encouraged you, built you up, and blessed you. To God be the glory. See you next time. God bless.